In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Juneau is getting a handful of responses from organizations to hold small pop-up COVID-19 vaccination clinics. City officials are transitioning from mass clinics to smaller ones. They announced earlier this week that they would partner with local organizations interested in holding the mobile clinics. Robert Barr with the Emergency Operations Center says the city is holding its first small pop-up clinic today at a local business.
It's tricky to do small ones because we, don't want to waste any vaccine, and there's six doses in every vial. So you want to do it in increments of six if you can.
Barr says the city is in the planning phases for a few other small clinics with organizations that include a church, other local commercial businesses, and the University of Alaska Southeast. Barr says Juneau is still leading the country in vaccination rates, but while about half of people in Juneau have received at least one dose, he says the pace is slowing down.
It's more of a trickle than a flood at this point, I would say.
Meanwhile, the city has seen a spike in case numbers this week. Barr says that's because of travel.
We're starting to see a little bit of impact from spring break. I think it's hard, right? Because we all want COVID to be over. But unfortunately, it's not. We're just not there yet.
More than 15,000 people have received their first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine in Juneau. In other news, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, says work will begin soon on a new office building and pier in Ketchikan. The agency says the project will allow it to bring the research ship Fairweather to its official home port in the Southern Panhandle. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
While the Fairweather spends much of its time at sea mapping the sea floor, studying fisheries, and searching for shipwrecks in Alaska, the research vessel hasn't had a home in the state since at least 2008. Alaska's junior Republican Senator Dan Sullivan says he's been pushing to base the Fairweather in Ketchikan for years.
It's good to finally get an important win that's going to be important for science, important for our economy, research, but also I think signifies more opportunities for Coast Guard, Navy, and other research vessels to come to Southeast and make an impact for our state and our country.
Sullivan says moving the Fairweather to Ketchikan would bring about 50 jobs to the area. The project includes a new NOAA office, a floating pier, and upgrades to power and water systems for visiting ships. The late Senator Ted Stevens inserted language in a 2001 bill that moved the Fairweather's official home port to Ketchikan, but the ship hasn't had an Alaska home since 2008, when NOAA's Stedman Street dock was condemned as unsafe. It's spent the intervening years based out of the lower 48.
Most of its research missions are in Alaska, about Alaska, whether it's the oceans, environment, fisheries, surveys, and to me, it just makes complete sense. If that's where the mission is, then that's where the ship should be home ported.
Sullivan says he pressed Biden administration Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, whose agency includes NOAA, to keep a promise Sullivan extracted from the Trump administration in 2019 to bring the Fairweather to Ketchikan.
This was the number one issue I raised with Secretary Raimondo when she was going through her confirmation process, the number one issue. And, I also let her know that her predecessor, Wilbur Ross, made this commitment.
Sullivan credits Sitka State Senator Bert Stedman for coming up with a novel approach to fund the project. Alaska pitched in about $7 million for the federal facility. Stedman says he'd like to see more resources moved to Alaska, like an expansion of the Naval Test Facility on Back Island, just north of Ketchikan.
There's no reason for Alaska to be treated like a territory or a third world country and everything based out of Washington State. These ships and facilities should be in Alaska, where they belong.
Ketchikan Borough Mayor Rodney Dial calls it an amazing win for Ketchikan.
This represents hundreds of thousands, if not millions, into our economy every year for many different sectors. So a vessel this size requires expensive maintenance. We're going to argue that that should be done at our shipyard. There'll be fuel that'll be sold, supplies, employee payroll, and all of that will circulate through our economy.
He says he hopes the federal spending will help the area reduce its reliance on tourism as an economic driver. The $18.7 million construction contract was awarded to a subsidiary of ATNA, the Alaska Native Regional Corporation based in Glen Allen. The company will start by removing the existing pier. NOAA expects to finish the project by December of 2022. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
The process of earning a doctorate takes a lot of time and work, and for one Inupiaq woman, hearing the words doctor next to her name was pretty emotional. Her response to passing her dissertation defense went viral this month after hundreds of thousands of people saw her reaction. KOTZ's Wesley Early spoke with her about being part of a wave of recent Alaska Native scholars and how academia can be more inclusive in the future.
In a video Twitter post, Kena Ulokachokiuk recorded herself getting the news that she'd passed her doctoral program at Utah State University.
Dr. Ulokachokiuk, I would like to congratulate you on being the first in our program to ever be passed with distinction.
She covers up her face as she cries tears of joy.
Very well earned.
Thank you.
As emotional as the moment was in general, Achokiuk says she was personally touched by hearing how her name was presented.
Hearing doctor with, you know, holy Inupiaq name was pretty overwhelming.
Her doctorate is in technical writing and rhetoric. She says her focus has been in how using more traditional storytelling can inform how people communicate in more Western-focused academia.
Using story is an incredibly effective way to communicate the stakes of an issue, especially issues that affect populations or communities that are disenfranchised or that are marginalized in some way.
Achokiuk says, for the most part, academics and research institutions rely on more quantitative data in their work, often discounting personal experiences or stories.
People will say, you know, when you use story, for example, they will say, well, that's anecdotal evidence. And I argue that is lived experience from people who are experts in that experience describing that.
She gave an example of Inupiaq hunters traveling on sea ice to catch seals. She says often people will ask what the trail was like, and a hunter could respond by describing how their eyelashes froze, or how ice was sturdier on the snow machine trip out, but began to break up under the weight of the snow machine and a freshly caught seal.
They might use an anecdote or some kind of like phrase to describe the weather. And what they're really saying, it's within this like temperature range.
Born in Kotzebue, Achokiuk spent most of her childhood traveling back and forth between Anchorage and the Northwest Arctic. Her journey through college wasn't conventional by most metrics. Out of high school, she went to UC Berkeley, but at that point in her life, she wasn't ready for college and didn't finish her degree there. She and her husband at the time had two children early in her 20s and moved to Boston where he was studying. She took night classes at Harvard, but she says she struggled with substance use towards the end of her last year. She eventually entered a mental health facility.
I didn't graduate. I lived instead. And I'm really proud of that choice that I made to value my own life and get help. And I'm grateful that I did that.
A year later, she graduated with honors in 2006 and continued her education with a master's in communication from Idaho State University before entering her doctoral program. Achokiuk says she's remained sober since being admitted, though she still made sacrifices moving forward. That included being apart from her kids as she went to school in Utah and continuing to work on confronting trauma from her own youth. At the end of it all, she says her work has been worth it.
I'm going to be a professor at Virginia Tech. Wow. Wow. Hard to believe for me. So this, you know, like I was a drug addict, almost died from my drug addiction. And I was this like traumatized kid from the Nana region, like literally.
Achokiuk talks openly about her experiences with trauma and substance use. She says in relating her personal experiences, she wants to show that they don't define a person and someone can experience them and still be successful.
It takes a lot of work and a lot of support from others. But, you know, if you are stuck in some of these cycles, there's hope for you.
Dr. Ulo Kichokiak says that in recent years, there's been a wave of Alaska Native success stories in higher education and doctoral research, and she's hopeful that both her work and her story will help the wave grow even larger. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.